If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we are today. And you know, Matthew 6, we're going to be in verses 16 through 18. Now, several years ago, I was my kids were young, and I went on a mission trip, and I grabbed a book that was recommended to me called The Barbarian Way by a guy named Irwin McManus. And you know, it just really captivated me as I think about this book, and as I was on a plane on a mission trip, and Irwin McManus said in this book, would you ever put your kids in a situation that was unsafe? And I read that, and when I heard that question, I thought, no. And he goes, well, his answer was, absolutely I would. And I thought, what? And then he said, if we ever ask God, would you ever put us in a situation that's unsafe? You know, the answer to that question is absolutely he would. And he often does as followers of Christ. And you know, when you think about, as you look at the landscape of the church, you see a lot of kids, as they grow up in church, they leave the church. You know, one of the reasons why many kids grow up in churches and then leave the church, I think it's because they're bored. For many, coming to church is boring. And you know what? There's something incredibly wrong with that. Not that like every time we get up and we're entertaining. But the truth is, when you follow Jesus, it can be described in a lot of ways, but boring is never one of them. Because as you follow Christ, let me tell you something. God will constantly call you to situations that are uncomfortable. And I want to ask us, as we begin to look at I almost don't even need to preach this because we're so good at this. We're talking about fasting today. We're good at this, right? Fasting. I mean, when we learn to do without. You know, the truth is many of us in our walk with the Lord, we fall into that comfort trap. And I want you to ask yourself this question today, like I've been asking as I've been wrestling through this passage. Are you just comfortable? Is your faith boring? Are you just in this trap of being comfortable? I want us to recognize that God did not call us to comfort. It's why a moment like this for us as a church, where it's disruptive, it's really good for us. Because it moves us out of our comfort zone. And can I tell you, as you learn to walk with the Lord, as you learn to give, as you learn to pray, as you learn to fast, did you realize that these are steps done the right way will move you out of your comfort zone? And the truth is, fasting is it's one of those opportunities in your walk with the Lord that help you build those faith muscles. And I want to ask a question. How are your faith muscles right now? Are you building muscles of faith where you're learning to trust the Lord? Because, and as we dig into this passage, into this, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, Jesus, it's interesting and important to note that he points us to fasting. He leads us to this. And fasting's not an American thing because we're used to 3 square meals. I mean, how many times I can't even count how many times it was told to me, Chris, finish your whole plate, right? As a kid, you remember that? Now you get to be an adult and I want to finish my whole plate, right? Especially when you go to, you know, our former sanctuary, El Tequila. That's where our church used to be. But we want to finish the whole bowl of chips, you know? But fasting, let's think about it. It's this idea of giving up something that matters for the sake of turning your face to Christ in prayer. And I want to just consider, when's the last time we've practiced this? Do you know that without understanding suffering, we sang these songs about, Lord, you're in deserts and gardens. Great song, great lesson to consider, great thing to have in our mind, great thing to be written on our heart. Because when we go through tough times, that you realize that's the place where faith is forged in your life. That it's in times of difficulty that you learn that God can be trusted. And you know, this interesting discipline of fasting, do you realize it's an intentional effort to turn to the Lord in prayer? Matthew 6, 16 through 18. Let's stand and let's read God's word today. And let's notice some details as you look at this passage. Jesus says in verse 16, "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret, will reward you." And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now let's look at this passage. Let's notice some details. First of all, he says, when you fast. You know what Jesus is assuming here? He's making the assumption, not, hey, someday you may ought to consider it. He's saying, when you fast. You know, we got to understand the context of chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. He's dealing with hypocrisy. And the scriptures deal with this from start to finish. I mean, there are hypocrisy. There's hypocrisy in Genesis. There's hypocrites all the way through Revelation as you look at your Bible. And there are hypocrites when the world begins. There will be hypocrites when the world ends. And that's just the story of humanity and the story of the Bible. And there were hypocrites among the 12 disciples. There are hypocrites in church leadership all through history. And they're always around. And hypocrites are those that play the game of religion. And this is what Jesus is combating. And we need to understand what fasting is. It's not just like we see now in our, scientists and doctors have said, hey, there's value in fasting. It's very popular right now for intermittent fasting. We've all seen that of, hey, this is a way to lose a little weight and this is healthy for you. And those are true things. But let's not miss the fact the goal of fasting is not to lose weight. According to biblical fasting, notice it's to seek the Lord in prayer. And you see the hypocrites, the Pharisees, they were struggling with this because they were doing their works before others. And you see three examples in chapter 6, really kind of five, but we'll get into later. You see the example of giving in the first part of chapter 6, and they were giving for the praise of men. You see prayer that we've looked at for the last 2 weeks. They were praying to be seen by men. And here again, you see, hey, when you fast, look, don't do it for the praise of men. And I want you to notice that fasting here is this challenge, don't be phony. And Jesus is continuing that message. Don't be a phony. But I want you to notice what Jesus says here. When you fast and the Lord sees it, there's a reward. And let's not miss the fact that we are, as followers of Christ, when we put his word into practice, there are rewards in our lives. There are blessings in our lives. We need to learn to fast for spiritual purposes, for the purpose of prayer. And I would argue that many of us, many in the church are bored because they've not learned to be disciplined. They've not, like in America, we don't do well at doing without. And fasting is this intentional plan of, I'm going to do without so I can learn to seek the Lord. Because we have a tendency to trust in ourselves too much, trust in our own power too much. We have a tendency to go, I don't want to do without. I want what I want now. And we're to learn to trust the Lord. And this is what Jesus is saying. There's great reward in learning that God can be trusted and learning to put spiritual disciplines in your life. And let's just kind of understand fasting from a biblical perspective. We see in the passage very clearly that we should fast. We see don't be phony, and we see there are rewards. But let's take a consideration of the scriptures and look at the value of this in your life. You know, fasting, if you're taking notes, fasting, you know what it is? It's an untapped spiritual power play for you. If you want to know what it means to be walking in the power of God, living in the power of God, fasting is we don't tap into it. It's an untapped spiritual power play. And we see this all through the scriptures, but do you know who you see it clearly in? You see it in the life of Jesus. Matthew 4 and Luke 4 describes this moment in the life of Jesus, and we just go, whoa, what in the world? How could I even do this? I think that. Because we see in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, Jesus had fasted for 40 days. And in Matthew 4, 1 and 2, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. No kidding. He'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he was being tempted by the devil. Let's understand something for a minute. Let's recognize the spiritual battle for a minute. The Bible speaks that we are in a very real spiritual battle. And for us to miss that is foolish. There are spiritual forces. Ephesians 6 talks about there are spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And there's an entire network. Ephesians 6 describes this entire network that is at play in the spiritual world. And for us to ignore the spiritual world is foolish. For us to not be aware of the spiritual battle is foolish. Jesus was aware of this. He had fasted 40 days. He had gone into the desert and was tempted by Satan himself. Now let's recognize Satan's different than God. Satan is a created being. We just sang a word, and I don't know if you caught it. We talked about God's omniscience. He's all-knowing. Satan is not all-knowing. Satan is not omniscient. Satan is not omnipresent. Satan is one being that can occupy one space at one time. It's likely that Chris Wall has never faced Satan himself, because he can only be at one place at one time. And there's probably bigger fish in the world to fry than me. But you know what? There is a network of Satan's attacks, and the Bible's clear on this. He did not know all the details of the cross when he tempted Jesus. And you know what? Satan's not everywhere at all times. Let's not give him more credit than he deserves. But the Bible speaks of the window to the spiritual world. You see it in Acts 19, one of my favorite passages, when the Sceva had seven sons, and they were like thinking Jesus is like, there's power in his name. And there is. There's power in the name of Jesus. And they were running around casting demons out. And one time, this demon-possessed man answered them. And that demon-possessed man said, Jesus, I know, and I've heard about Paul, but who are you? And then that demon-possessed man beat those boys up, and they ran out naked and bleeding. I hope we get to see the movie when I get to heaven about that. But that demon-possessed man articulated something very clear. Jesus, I know, and I've heard about Paul, but I don't know you. And see, the battle that we're in is real. Jesus pointed those, remember when he in Luke 8, or Matthew 8 and Luke 8, that was when that demon answered Jesus, please don't throw us into the swine. And please don't destroy us, throw us into the swine. And he did. And look, in Matthew 4, Satan himself shows up, knowing Jesus, and let's recognize his strategy, and we don't have to have time to go into the details of Matthew 4, but his strategy, what did Satan do? He used Scripture to twist it. He twisted Scripture as his main attack. Let's think about this. If Satan knew, I'm going to attack the Son of God, do you know what he brought? He brought his A game. He brought the best he had. And let's recognize the best Satan has is to twist Scripture. This is the best he has. And this is still the best tactic of Satan. And this is why we as a church need to wrestle with the Bible, know what the Word of God says. This is why Jesus, in the whole Sermon on the Mount, he corrects the Pharisees and all those. You've heard that it was said, but you've missed it. Let me get you right on the Scriptures. And this is the battle that Jesus is in. He's attacking Satan. And this is why we need to read the Bible. We need to understand the Bible. We need to think through it. We need to properly interpret the Bible. We need to meditate on what God has said. At middle school camp this week, I'm wearing my middle school camp shirt. I know, it's a great time. I only got to go one day, so I slept the whole week. But a young man asked me, why is the Bible so hard to understand? And I go, well, what do you think? Why do you think the Bible's hard to understand at times? He goes, well, I guess I have to think about it. That was a brilliant answer from an eighth grade kid. And so we learn to study the Bible. And here's the point is Jesus is preparing for the attack from Satan. And as Satan brings his A game, Jesus fasted. You know what you see in this moment of fasting? I know the Bible says, Matthew 4, that he was hungry. But can I help you understand what fasting brings? Fasting brings strength, not weakness. And this is true for you. And this is why I pray that we learn how to fast. That brings strength, not weakness. You know what it makes you? It makes you alert, not distracted. That's what fasting does. You're alert. You're not distracted. You know, fasting, do you know what that makes you? It makes you ready, not caught off guard. And see, this is what Jesus did in his attack. When you look at Jesus, as he battles Satan himself, and as we look at engaging the spiritual battle, we need strength, not weakness. We need alertness, not being distracted. We need to be ready, not caught off guard. And this is what fasting does for us. This is why it's a discipline that we can't go, oh, well, we're not doing that. I'm not going to go without. It's wise to build this. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11, so be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. And see, we've got to tap in to this power play in your life, because we're in a battle, and we've got to bring our A game. And I would argue, and I'm talking not at you, but with you, that fasting is something we should learn. We should agree with Jesus that when we fast, when this happens in your life, and if you can't identify a moment of when you fast as a follower of Christ, you're missing your greatest spiritual power play, or a good one. You could argue if it's the greatest or not, but fasting also, you know what it does? Not only is it a spiritual power play, fasting moves you to life in the faith zone. You know, if you're going to fast, you're in this zone of faith. Faith is something we learn. Faith grows. We should take steps of faith. You see this, how important it is all through the Bible, of God's people taking steps of faith. And really quickly, I want to just point to a passage in Acts 13. It's another practical example of what fasting brings. Acts 13, in the book of Acts, the church is growing, and God is moving. People are being saved, and all these communities, churches are experiencing establishment. And with that comes a real battle. And you see in Acts 13, you see what fasting produces. It produces, and if you're going to write this down, what that faith zone is like, it's a unique focus. And I would argue that we need to focus. We need to focus more effectively. Acts chapter 13, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. You know what? This should be common for us as a church, that we are fasting and praying and sending people off. We have a group in New York City right now. I'm going on a mission trip in a week with our security team. You know, fasting and praying is important because we're in a spiritual battle. And Paul and Barnabas, this is the first missionary journey that Paul is on. They fasted and prayed. You know what that's a unique focus. It produces a willingness to go, and they're willing to go. They fasted and prayed, and what God is doing is preparing them for what's ahead. They fasted and prayed, and they went into this spiritual battle alert and ready. And Acts 13 is a fascinating story because you see another thing that fasting produces. It not only produces a unique focus, but natural boldness. You're bold. You're naturally bold when you fast and when you're praying. And I tell you, these things go together because when you're fasting, you're praying because you're hungry. And you're thinking, and that hunger pain, that short-term hunger pain, causes you to go, "Lord, strengthen me. I need you." And that produced a unique boldness because Paul and Barnabas, this first missionary journey, they came to Paphos on the island of Cyprus, and there was this guy they met, Sergius Paulus, and he was this Roman proconsul, and Paul was passionate about leading Roman officials to Christ. And this guy was interested in hearing the word of God. And there was this Jewish sorcerer, and his name was Elymas. Depending on where you're from, if you have an Oklahoma accent, it's Elymas. And he was also called Bar-Jesus, and he opposed Paul. He's opposing him. And Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 9 in Acts 13 says, "But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and all villainy, will you not stop making crooked the paths of the Lord?'" You know what's interesting about Elymas and Paul and Barnabas and Jesus and Satan? You know what Elymas is doing? He's twisting the scripture. You know what he says? Paul says, "You're a son of the devil. Quit making crooked paths from the Lord." And let me tell you, there are a lot of voices in our world, and we are perfecting through the internet crooked paths, crooked messages. And this is why we as a body must know what the Word of God says. We must be disciplined to understand and properly interpret the Scriptures. Because the world, Satan is still bringing this A game of twisting the Scriptures. But Paul had a unique boldness, or natural boldness. And there are times that we need to look at somebody and go, "You're wrong. No." And see, it's when you fast and you pray, well, you see this boldness that comes. Now we may think, "Well, that's pretty rude of Paul. Boy, that didn't seem very nice." But let's recognize that fasting not only produces a unique focus, natural boldness, but you know what fasting produces? It produces spiritual wins in your life. Spiritual wins. You know what Paul did? He looked at Elymas. "You're a son of the devil," and I don't know that I would do this, but he did it, and God led him, so maybe I need to fast more, and this is an interesting spot. No, verse 11 says, "Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. You will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately a mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. You see, God was all over Paul and produced this focus, this boldness, and this win that everybody that saw this were like, oh my goodness, God is real. You know, we got to come in for a landing today. You know, when you walk in that faith zone, do you know that it's normal to see Satan defeated? It's normal to see the spiritual forces of evil defeated. When you walk in that faith zone, it's normal to experience the power of God. It's normal to experience God's strength, God's power through the trial. But let's understand this. When you walk in that faith zone, it's normal to be uncomfortable. And I gotta just, I've been in the middle of this all week, wrestling through this, praying for my heart, praying for our church's heart. Lord, please don't let us be comfortable. Don't let us be a church that is not trusting in you, not learning to put our faith in you, not growing in our faith. You know, we live in a culture that even looks at churches and says, hey, make it easy. God didn't call us to easy. He did not call you and I to easy. And do you know the thing that will destroy your children and cause them to walk away from their faith? Walk away from what you've taught them? You make, oh, everything easy. You make it easy for your kids. As they grow up, you'll lose them. You know what? God's will has nothing to do with our comfort. God is calling us to a contribution. And God never chooses safety for the cost of significance. And you know what? I mentioned this in a social media post I made this week. God didn't just ask us to count the days of our lives, but to make the days of our life count. Are you comfortable? You know, we just sang, God, your plans are good. And I just want you to know God's plan is the best plan imaginable for you. So what's keeping you from growing up in your faith? Some of you don't know Christ. You look fasting. What are you talking about? What? Man, just encourage me. Just give me something that, like, make my day better. Oh, shame on me if that's my, if that's what I do in your life. And I pray that we as followers of Christ, as a church, that we're focused, tapping into that spiritual power play, that we as a church, man, that we are in that faith zone. I couldn't wait to preach this message today. Now, what do you do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go, well, I guess I got to go without lunch today? Not necessarily. Man, don't settle for comfort. So I just got to ask you, are you settling? Our staff's going to be down front. And maybe you need to come and pray. Maybe you need to come and pray with a staff member. Maybe you need to give your life to Christ. Well, I pray that you experience the adventure of what it looks like to know Christ, to walk with Him. You realize that life in that zone is an adventure you don't want to miss. And some of us are missing the adventure. Don't miss it. You don't have to miss it. Oh, I wish I could take, if you don't know Christ, I wish I could take my heart out of my chest and put it into you and let you feel what it's like to be forgiven. Oh my goodness, to be forgiven transforms you. Oh, to bow your head. Father, I pray that as we sing this song about the good plans you have for us, that we would agree with you. That, Father, you would move us as a church out of this comfort, temptation, this trap. I thank you for how you modeled for us the results of fasting. Lord, speak to us. Lord, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you as Savior, I pray, Lord Jesus, that today would be a day of salvation. For those that are just not growing, I pray that this week would be a taste of fasting. Father, teach us to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray.